Good evening. My name is Mark Laredo. I'm a counselor at large from I'm a counselor at large from Ward 7. This is a regularly scheduled meeting of the Land Use Committee. We are going to be audio taped this evening. Let me take a moment to introduce my colleagues and staff, and we'll go over our procedures for the evening. We'll get started then right away. To my immediate left is Councilor Jim Cote, Councilor at Large from Ward 3. Next to him is Councilor Deb Crosby, Councilor at Large from Ward 5. Sitting between them is Councilor Cody's grandson, Max, who is quite welcome to join us this evening, and will be a welcome addition to our deliberations. To my immediate right is Councilor Jake Auchincloss, Councilor at Large from Ward 2. I do expect we'll have a couple of other committee members here this evening. We have several staff members, Alexandra Nance from the Planning Department, Robert Waddock from the Legal Department, Michael Gruda from Planning, Neil Cronin from Planning, and Nadia Khan, our committee clerk. We have two consistency rulings on first, and then we have five special permit applications that we're going to take up this evening. Just by way of explanation, consistency rulings are when the inspectional services comes back to us and is there something? Is that taping making noise? Is that good? Better? Yeah. Is that okay? Only if you can fix it. If not, don't worry about it. Okay. Inspectional services comes before the Land Use Committee and asks for what's called a consistency ruling to see if the special permit that we've acted on previously is consistent with what is going to be actually built. This is a not uncommon process. It will take us just a few minutes to go through those. We are then going to take up each petition in turn. When we do, I will invite the petitioner at that time to come to the podium to state his or her name and address, and to provide us with a brief overview of what relief they're seeking. Let me emphasize that while you are welcome to speak at some length, although I ask it be no more than 15 minutes or so, frankly, if you have what we would consider a rather routine petition, there really isn't much need to give us a lengthy presentation. You have the right to expect, and we have done our homework, meaning we have been given an array of materials, including a memorandum from the Planning Department and plans and all sorts of other materials on the individual petitions. We do our homework on this committee, which means that we have read the materials carefully. And if you don't ask your questions about projects, you should take that as a very good sign. It means that it is, at least in our eyes, relatively straightforward. For each matter, we will entertain public comment. Any member of the public is welcome to speak on any petition. The only ground rules are that you come up to the microphone, you state your name and address, and I'd ask you to keep your remarks for approximately 3 minutes or less. So with that, we have two consistency rulings. The first relates to 131-181 Needham Street, requesting a change of use from office to retail and a change in the facade. Ms. Anand, do you want to provide us with the background on this, please?
Sure. So these are both actually cross-point properties. The first one is 131 through 181 Needham Street. This is where the TripAdvisor headquarters was. They've now moved to Needham. The petitioner received a special permit in 2015 to convert the office structure into a mixed-use facility. So there's one change to one of the buildings in the rear. This is just an overview of the site. And the building we're talking about is this building right here. So that's farthest from Needham Street. It's behind the two buildings in the front, and we're going to be talking about this corner. What's happening is that across the street, the Newton Tennis and Ski and Tennis facility is going to be moving into this rear building. There wasn't a lot of attention paid to the rear building because it was presumed that this was going to stay office. Most of the focus of our discussion was on the front two buildings, which are changing significantly. The change that's now proposing is to convert 7,000 square feet from office to retail. It does not require any expansion to the footprint, does not require any additional parking. It's simply a change to the facade. So this is the facade of the rear building, and we're really talking about this corner back here. And this is sort of a view into the site with the new retail space back there, and it's basically continuing to activate the site and adding some retail at the back. The rest of the building is presumed to stay office.
Is the planning department, have any concerns about this?
No concerns.
Okay. Questions, comments? It's taxed as commercial, obviously, so it doesn't affect our tax base at all?
Correct.
Okay. All right. Do we need a vote on this, or do you want just an opinion? Are there any questions from the committee? Seeing none, I think you can... Oh, I'm sorry, Councilor Crosby, forgive me.
Well, I've been looking forward to this project starting for a long time. I think it's very consistent with what else was going on. It's an improvement, actually. Previously, there weren't improvements going on at the rear building. I just want to know when you're getting your permit.
When are you starting, right?
When are you starting the project, yes.
Could you state your name, please? Good news. I take it then, with the lack of any questions, that you can report that we are comfortable with this change.
Great. Okay.
So the next item is at 180 Needham Street. This is special permit 91-15 and 182-09. We're into Anthony's Coal Fired Pizza.
Yes. So this is directly across the street from the previous site. It is where the antennas is currently located. The applicant received a special permit in 2015 to convert that building to a restaurant use on the ground floor that would have more than 50 seats. And then the board also authorized parking off-site at the adjacent building to the south. So this just gives you an aerial of a view of the existing building. This is now where you back out onto Needham Street, some very uncomfortable parking arrangements. And the proposed parking for this site is going to be along the adjacent property here. So this was the approved plan. It showed a restaurant space with some patio seating in front on Needham Street. The change is that the front door has been reoriented from Needham Street to the side of the building, which would be closer to the parking, and it sort of makes more sense for a pedestrian flow. There are really only minor changes to the patio facility, so I'm not concerned. So this is, again, the approved elevations, and this is the proposed rendering showing sort of a new front door closer to their parking, and they will still have a patio space. There's been some minor modifications, but nothing major.
Okay. Questions by the committee? Councilor Cody? Please use your microphone.
Okay. Sorry about that. So I'm planning, Alexander, do you guys have any concerns with this at all? Or?
I don't, because the activity is going to remain on Needham Street with the outdoor patio, so I'm not concerned.
Okay.
Councilor Crawford?
No concerns. I had a question earlier about the landscaping, and I understand there's some mature or moderate-sized street trees that are going to be retained. Is that correct?
You know, that goes back into the details of this permit, which I don't remember, but perhaps the petitioner can address those.
Yes, we have three trees. It doesn't show, unfortunately, in this architectural rendering. It didn't quite catch up with the two. One was done by the landscape architect. This was updated by the building architect and doesn't show the three trees, so it's more focused on the patio. But yes, we'll have three trees that were out there.
I just wanted, for the record, to make sure that we're maintaining the relative amount of screening that you had before. Thank you.
We've been joined by Councilor Greg Schwartz, Vice Chair of the Committee, Councilor at Large from Ward 6. Councilor Auchincloss.
Just to make sure I'm understanding this, so that where the patio is currently there, that is where the Boston Ski and Tennis's parking lot now is? Okay.
Right, that's closing fine. The curb cut, creating this patio space.
That's fantastic. I bought my tennis racket there, and backing out of there on the Needham Street is a nightmare. So, absolutely.
So, just a quick question. The facade on Needham Street will still remain active and visual?
Yes, I believe it will.
Okay. Any other questions? I think you can report to the... Well, you can tell the petitioner, you can tell the commissioner that we are comfortable with the consistency here. Councilor Schwartz?
One thing that was not clear to me in the materials was I was surprised. So this use was not, was this part of the intended uses? Or, like, is it just the facade or is
yes,
it also the use that we have to agree?
Yes, it's just an update to a facade. A restaurant use was permitted. It's now that they have the tenant and they've figured out the internal configuration for the new tenant. They're just reorienting the front door, basically.
Because I think in the memo it said something about the use also had to be approved, but we had already approved
the use.
The use
was originally approved, but, okay. And the use is not changing.
Okay. Comfortable? Okay. Great. All right. We're satisfied with that. Best of luck. We look forward to seeing this project getting going as quickly as we can. All right, next, 145-16, special permit petition to increase the non-conforming use at 226-228 California Street by KTM Properties. This is in Ward 1. Good evening.
Good evening. My name is Adam Levick. This is the homeowner, Linda Koo. She resides at 226-228 California Street. And we would like to add a small 46-square-foot addition. It will be a single-story addition that will be used for a bathroom.
Great. Short, sweet to the point. questions or comments from my colleagues? I don't see any because this strikes us, I think, as very routine. Is there any member of the public who wishes to be heard on this petition? All right. Seeing none, I'm going to entertain a motion to close the public hearing. Moved by Councilor Auchincloss. All in favor of closing the public hearing? 1, 2, 3, 4, Councilor 5. 5 in favor, none opposed. The public hearing is closed. You're welcome to take a seat if you'd like. Do I have a motion to approve this petition? So moved by Councilor Auchincloss. Do we have a draft board order with our materials? Do you want to present anything from planning at all on this? Is this yours, Mr. Cronin?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, it is. If you'd like, we can go right to the proposed findings, or I could give a little background if you prefer.
So why don't we take just a minute to go through the I think we need to do just a little more justice to it. Why don't we go through the what the proposal is so we can see it?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As the petitioner stated, it's a request to increase the non-conforming residential use by adding the 45-square-foot bathroom addition.
And just for the record, so people will understand why we're here on 45 square feet, one might think, why should we be here on that? It's because it's a pre-existing non-conforming use. Had this been a conforming use, they would have just applied for a building permit and been done with it. But because it's a pre-existing non-conforming use, we have some processes in place when you add to what is already not conforming with the zoning code. So, go ahead, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. When reviewing this request, the council is to consider whether the site is an appropriate location for the proposed addition, and the proposed increase in the residential structure is not substantially more detrimental than the existing non-conforming structure is to the neighborhood.
Okay.
Just a brief aerial of the site. The proposed site plan, you can see the addition to the right of the building. And the proposed findings.
Okay. Why don't we just take a minute, if we could, colleagues, to just go through the proposed findings. No need to read them to us, Mr. Cronin. Yes, Councilor Schwartz.
Just wondering about the dramatically, the term dramatically. Should we change it to something more neutral, like, or clear, like significantly, or drastically is what it's called.
Yeah,
well.
I agree. Dramatically striking is probably not a particularly good descriptor.
Significantly?
Objections?
Significantly?
Eliminated. Well, I think the point is that the footprint of the structure is not changing much.
Yeah.
Could we say the proposed addition will only add limited square footage and
minimally change the footprint
of the structure? Is that a better way of phrasing it? Okay. All right. So otherwise, we're comfortable with these findings with that change? Okay. All right. Conditions, anything? It's just standard conditions, correct? Okay. Questions on this? Comments? I have a motion to approve. All in favor of approval? 5 in favor, none opposed. It's approved. It goes before the full council next Monday evening. You're welcome to come, but there's no opportunity to speak at that time. I anticipate that this will be voted on what's called first call, and if it's approved, then you have to wait the statutory period before you can start your work. You're welcome to talk to our committee clerk or the planning department if there's any questions at all about the process. Okay? Best of luck. Thank you. All right. Next, this is 126-16, special permit petition for 17 Malvern Terrace. Charles D. Kosterbloom petition for special permit site plan approval for an extension of a non-conforming use to modify an existing non-conforming two-family use and amend an existing special permit to raise existing buildings and rebuild the dwelling away from the floodplain and closer to the street at 17 Malvern Terrace, Ward 4. Good evening, Attorney Morris.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Terry Morris. I'm an attorney with offices at 57 Elm Road in Lutonville, and I'm here representing Mr. Charles Kosterbloom, owner of the property. And with me this evening is Mr. Jay Walter, our project architect, who will be speaking very briefly after I do. I think, as you pointed out, Mr. Chairman, this is the prime catalyst for this petition is really to relocate this building out of its proximity to the Charles River, where it is subject to a periodic flooding. And you will see in the pictorial presentation by our architect has a photograph which dramatically demonstrates that effect. It has been reviewed by the Conservation Commission, which has approved the demolition of the existing structure and the relocation or reestablishment of the new structure at its proposed location. From a zoning perspective, I point out some significant things, and that is that the setbacks on three sides, obviously the river, but on both sides, setbacks have increased, particularly in one case, the south side has increased from 7.5 to 10.5. From another zoning perspective, floor area ratio, although this building is going to increase by about 1,000 square feet, it's still well below, it is below the allowable FAR 0.39, and as the planning report points out, virtually all of that increase is attributed to the fact that we had to raise the grade on the site, and as a result, much of the foundation area or garage and basement area has been exposed and is now counted towards FAR, whereas previously it wouldn't. Various other things, there's also a decrease in lot coverage, down to 17%, a little more than half of the what's allowed, the 30% in this zone. And although this is a two-family house, I'd say it has been a legal non-conforming use since 1946 as a result of a special permit issued at a time when the decisions were not quite as expansive as they are now, a simple paragraph, and in those situations they weren't required to be recorded either. So I think that really concludes the substance of our presentation. We think on balance this is favorable to replacing the house with a single family house that would be twice the size. These units would be more modest comparatively speaking. And so that will conclude my remarks, and I would now turn the podium over to Mr. Jay Walter.
Thank you. Nadine, can I respond, please? My name is Jay Walter. I'm a fantastic architect. I'm the project architect. The planning department's memo was very thorough. I need not review the facts and findings in that memo. I just want to supplement it with a few photographs. This is the site plan. The areas to the top and bottom are planted areas requested by the Conservation Commission. The dotted line indicates the existing building, and the darker one is the proposed building. Basically, we're taking the building and turning it 90 degrees so that instead of being approximately 19 feet from the river, it's more closer to 40. Next slide. I thought I'd just review some of the pictures of the existing building. This is the front of the building. The building was built in 1885. Next slide. This is from the sidewalk. The shed building to the right will be demolished, and you can get a little glimpse of the river between the two buildings. Next slide. The corner, back corner of the house is to the right. You can see how close the house is to the river right there. That's the same view back from the front corner of the house, so that's the side lot line. Next one. This is the northern exposure, and to the right is the western side facing the river. As you can see, the existing structure is basically a simple rectangular structure, wood shingles, hip roof, with a cupola on top. The windows are simple, double hung, single and ganged windows. Next slide. We intend to remove the and salvage the cupola and use it on the new building. Next slide. So this is the proposed elevations of the building. To the left you see the bottommost level is a two-car garage and an unfinished space, with the occupied spaces, the two floors above it. To mitigate the additional height, there is a berm that goes across the front of the building, and on the south side of the building, the north side and the east side maintain their current grading. The new building, proposed building, will use the same materials, the wood shingles, the asphalt roof, and the same form as the building. The front facade has the same proportions of the original building, and again, we will salvage the cupola and use it on the existing building. The new building is the same rectangular form as the old building, with the exception of the decks that are facing, that are on the rear of the house, facing the river. We've also, it's a two-family house in a basically one-family area, so we put one entrance on the front and the second entrance on the side, so that the street facade only has one major entrance on it. Next slide. This is the flood. This is what this is why we're doing this project. As you can see, the flood water is here. Literally above the first, the top of the first floor, flooding out the entire floor. Mr. Kosebohm was raised in this house and has seen this more than once. Next slide. This is the very front of the house, and you can see how the river has extended up into the front of the house, such that the water is literally running through the front door. The proposed elevation of the lowest floor in this house will be approximately the height of the sidewalk right there. Next slide. So I thought I would include some of the houses in the adjacent to the proposed site and show you that they too have dealt with raising up the first occupied floor in all the way around. So in this house. They have a berm that's approximately 2 feet above the sidewalk, and then they have steps up to the front door, which adds another 5 feet. So they're approximately 7 feet above the sidewalk grade. Next slide. This is the house adjacent to the project. This is an older house, but still, they built a retaining wall right on the sidewalk and then graded up so that the entrance, while it seems like it's on grade, is actually approximately 4 feet above grade. Next slide. And this is the house directly across the street. Again, you have about 3 feet of berm between the sidewalk and the house, and then another 3 feet of a staircase, putting the first floor approximately 6 feet from the sidewalk elevation. And the last slide just shows the site from the street and the obstructed view of the river from the sidewalk in the summertime. Thank you.
All set, Attorney Morris?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, thank you.
Okay. Colleagues, questions for petitioner at this time? Counselor Cody? Pardon? If she's next door at some other meeting, I'll be there. Sure, if you want to go get her, that'd be great. Let me ask you if there's any questions for the moment for my colleagues, for the petitioner. Councilor Schwartz and Auchincloss, and then I want to hear from planning, and we'll hear from the public. Sure, that's fine. Do you want to comment on this? Who's got this one? Mr. Grieve, is it yours?
Okay, so basically the request of relief for this project is that it needs special permit to be given one to amend the existing special permit that was granted in the 1940s, and to modify the existing tree family as it exists now. As you review this request, the council should be considering whether the proposed modifications of the two-family house will not be substantially more detrimental than the existing non-conforming use to the neighborhood. We have some great...
some of the proposal that the proponent had. Here we have the college site, here we have the college location. And like you see, the ceiling is the site plan of the existing house. You see the house that perpendicular to the river and starts to the back. So, here's a little more detailed site plan, which is a little less easy to read, the more we saw condition, the more schematic site plan that was provided. When you see the location of the new house, there's an existing house with the dotted line behind. The garage is one of the new driveway to be built on the north side of the garage. This is the black and white cottage in the renovation. The store. So the detail is fairly similar to what others. Mostly taken in, I believe, April. The house is mistaken to move from the street. So this is the north face of the house. This shows the proximity of the house to the river when it's not full. This is I see some photos of the side property because depending on how many talks about the potential moves, it's screening. This is a photo taken fairly recently. This, in fact, is where the new driveway would go. This is the photo to the north. The scene that it is now, as summer becomes more full during the summer. Photo taken fairly early this year.
before they've been fully grown in, you can see the parts of the parts of the
And do you have any commentary on this particular petition?
I think the main comment is, you know, we just find it to be like that because what has been built on its grave, so there appears to be the same height, so that's stated by that. That being said, it does conform to the dimensional regulations. So
Is it going to conform because they're raising the grade? From the existing grade. So the fact that they're raising the grade is not going to affect whether it conforms or not?
No, so it doesn't affect conforming with the height. It does affect the amount of force. The fact that the grade allows the run level to be considered the same.
And so because they're raising the grade, they're allowed to build a bigger project than they would if they weren't raising the grade. With the new grade. Okay. All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Kleber. Councillor Schwartz, then Austin Kloss has been joined by Councillor at Large, Tony Sangiello, not a member of the committee, but a Councillor at Large from Ward 4. Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I was just wondering if the petitioner didn't address the comments that were in the engineering memo and CONCON the Conservation Commission had also referred to one of the conditions that engineering had raised about the driveway and the pervious pavers as far as handling the potential oils and other car-related chemicals. So I was just wondering if you'd gotten a chance to look at that engineering memo and had some responses to it. And then I had a couple other questions.
The comment, Councillor Schwartz, the Councillor on the impervious pavement, it says the design does not take into account water quality of the groundwater. If a pervious driveway is installed to allow runoff to infiltrate, how does the system address potential? It was kind of a contradiction because the city engineer called out the use of pervious materials, but we didn't take into account that when we calculated the drainage capacity.
I don't think it was the volume of the water that he was talking about, or at least not the part of it that I saw. It was more about the potential oils and other chemicals that... And then I think CONCON does refer to it in their memo, which is attachment G, where they say runoff from the driveway must be... Sorry, in the event that the engineering department requires the driveway be impervious and that a trench drain be... and closed drainage system with gas trap outlet that discharges to an infiltration system be installed, the applicant must provide revised plans. It sounded like that was what engineering was requesting, because on page two of three, says this design does not take into account the water quality of the groundwater. If the pervious driveway is installed with stone material to allow runoff to infiltrate into the base, and ultimately the groundwater, how does the system address the potential of any gas or oil drippings from contaminating the local soil and ultimately the groundwater? So it hadn't been addressed, but I was just curious.
Well, yeah, and we actually believe that it's addressed in the order of conditions of the Conservation Commission. I know that the Conservation Commission and the engineering, Associate City Engineer were in close communication when we were going through the process before we got here. So that I think that's one reason why in the proposed board order there's a condition that talks about final approval of the plan from engineering. And I would add that it would be consistent with the order of conditions. I mean, I think that's what you're talking about, that whatever you do is consistent with what CONCOM had approved. That's why we went to them first.
But I'm sorry, I just don't understand. So what are the choices? It wasn't clear to me. So you'll either have pervious pavers, which sounds like there's some concern on the part of both the engineer and CONCOM that might allow certain chemicals into the groundwater. And then they're saying if engineering requires an impervious driveway, that you'll have to install a certain, you know, pretty elaborate, sounds like, treatment of that water. So are you ready to do that? Is that something you're planning to do? Are you still going with pervious?
Yeah, if they require us to basically go to pervious, then we would have to increase the size of the chambers to handle that capacity and treat it.
Not just the capacity.
And the typical treatment, you have that all the time when you have parking, whether it's a driveway or a parking lot. There's a lot of gas separators that are installed that basically between to filter and clean the water before it's recharged into the ground.
Okay, so you're ready to do that?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, that's pretty standard.
May I just follow up on that, Councilor Schwartz? Because as I read the memorandum, the concern is that this is a concern on this type of, you're going to have to maintain it by a vacuum. Is that going to be done? It is a home, not a commercial development. I'm sorry, Councilor Schwartz, I don't want to take away from you, but if you look at the last paragraph of page one of Mr. Daglian's memo, it talks about concerns with this type of thing, because homeowners don't do this type of maintenance typically. Is that, Councilor Schwartz, I don't want to interrupt. If that wasn't your focus, I'll leave.
No, it's fine. It sounds like there are actually two different elements, if I understand the memo. One is the top of the pavers, right, which I think is where the vacuum is required sometimes to maintain the pervious nature if you're going for a pervious design. Am I right? I don't know. I'm getting a look from all across it. And then there's whether it goes through, if it is pervious, then there's the issue of whether the runoff is dealt with appropriately, especially in a sensitive zone. So I'm comfortable if what I heard was that whatever, you know, the engineer and conservation commission feel is appropriate, that they'll do. So I'm happy with that. I hadn't seen that in the materials, but if other people have other questions about that, I'm ready to, I can yield to them.
Why don't you continue on, Councilor Schwartz, and then we'll go to Councilor Ashenkloss.
So the other concern, I guess, that came to me from reading the materials, and I have planning to comment on this. So the height, which you alluded to, the height of the proposed structure, just from the first floor to the roof, how tall is that? Just so we don't get confused by the grading.
It is about 34 feet.
Well, I'm not talking about from the base of the garage, but I'm saying from the base of the first floor to the top of the roof, not including the cupola.
So it would be 34 minus 8 feet, minus 23.
Okay, 25. So is that, how does that compare with the current structure?
7 feet.
The scale of the current structure, because we are turning
it. So the current structure is 27 feet high.
27 feet high, from the bottom of the first floor to the top of the roof.
Sure.
So it's about the same height. Okay, and then the area, like, I know it's 65 now going to be across parallel with the street.
Yes. So the existing structure is 57 feet by 26, which gives you, the house is 2,900 square feet.
Well, I thought that we're going from 2,900 to 4,800, and 900 of that is a basement, so it leaves about 1,000. So I'm just wondering
where
that comes in.
So each of the two floors are slightly bigger than the footprint of the existing building.
And we're not counting any attic?
No.
Because it's less than 7 feet?
Oh.
Yep.
Do we know how tall it is?
The attic is...
Like, is it 6'10"?
That's my guess.
Well, it's 7'6" on the very best of height, not the height of the unusable space in the attic.
I don't think there's any usable space in the third floor. There are no windows.
No.
Okay, I just thought the scale of the building, because we're turning it around, I just want to make sure it doesn't, you know, and as we're moving close to the street, it doesn't have such a significant difference in its appearance. Then, and now we're doing also some grading, so that was why I was trying to get a sense of. So you're saying that it's pretty much the same, very close to the same scale as the current building. It's just a little higher because the grading is different.
Yes.
Okay. That's helpful. And then the last thing is there's a tree, apparently, that is in the way of the driveway. It's 16 inches. Is there any way to protect that tree?
I don't know.
Sir, you've got to come up to the microphone. You need to identify yourself, please.
Charles Cross from the homeowner. The tree that was in the driveway has already been approved by the tree warden to be removed.
Why, because it's dying?
No, that last November I put in a request to remove that tree, and it was posted, advertised, and it can be taken down now.
So I understand it can be taken down, but did you consider trying to save it?
Where the driveway needed to go.
Okay, thank you.
Councilor Auchincloss.
The planning department recommended additional screening with evergreen trees. Is that going to happen?
We presented that photo that Michael Glaber put on the screen. Perhaps you could bring it up again. That's exactly where he wanted evergreens planted. We thought that might be a little superfluous given what's already there now.
Are those trees that are there 24 year round?
Well, it really, you're not going to take those down just to put evergreens. Those are going to remain. That's a substantial planting.
That wasn't the question. Are they year round plants or not?
I don't know.
It's privet.
I'm sorry, what?
It's privet, which means it's not that in the wintertime there won't have leaves on it.
Okay.
What does the planning department say to that?
Well, Mr. Glaber, you want to respond? I think the question was addressed to you.
Well, I didn't hear the question, but yeah, can you repeat?
You suggested in the planning number that they use evergreen to screen, and they're saying that they don't want to replace.
The body response to the process of the site change to not show these or any other landscaping in that place. So our concern was that there would be some landscaping.
Okay, yeah. So you're satisfied?
You know, the plans do not provide new lines. Screening for it continues to be a concern, but it does provide some screening.
So what's the recommendation?
The recommendation, well, I would say, if you have any sense to remove the depth of the bowl, filling it with there doesn't mean. And since it is not clear to me, sometimes, perhaps we can condition that this thing out first.
You okay?
I'm fine with that. That's it.
Okay.
And the second question has to do with the living situation. My understanding is that since 1946, there's basically one extended family that was living there, and now there are additional. There's an additional garage going in for two more cars under the expectation, I assume, that it's going to be now two unrelated families living there.
Okay, the house was again, Charles Cross from the homeowner. The house was originally purchased by my dad in 1948 as a two-family. There was another family living on the first floor when he purchased the home. We did go through about five or six sets of tenants until the 1960s when my grandmother lost her home to 128. Then he moved my grandmother and my two aunts onto the first floor, who lived on the second floor. It's always been a two-family home with two closed doors and locked.
You're doing it?
I was born here. So it is, it has been utilized as a true family, always has been, and just because our family has all lived in the house with, you know, different generations on different floors, it has always been a true family home.
Okay.
We've been joined previously by Councilor Rick Lipoff, Councilor at Large from Ward 8, and we're just joined by Councilor Jay Harney, Ward Councilor from Ward 4, both members of the committee. Councilor Crosby, did you have a question?
Kind of a comment. With regard to the height of the structure, the planning department has pointed out, and there seems to be a little concern about this, that the proposed house is conforming because we're not using existing natural or natural grade as the baseline. We're using the revised grade. And this is done differently in different communities. In some communities, you are required to measure from natural grade, but in Newton, we are not required to measure from natural grade. So it's done all over the city that if somebody wants to add height, or they're putting an addition on and it adds height, and it puts them over the maximum allowable, they add some grade. I'm taking it here that I actually find this a very clever solution to a tough problem, because trying to get a building further away from the Charles River, and you're trying, and you need, so you need to raise it. And you need to raise the first floor elevation. You're getting it, you're trying to get it up above the floodplain, or a foreseeable floodplain. And in doing so, if we didn't raise the grade, we would have to count that basement level as floor area ratio, correct? That's my question. No, so
another question for planning.
That's one piece of it.
You're still counting the basement towards FAR, however you only count 50% of it in this case, but you also are not counting it as a story. If the basement counted
right
as a story, it would be three stories and non-compliant.
Okay. Because of the sloping nature of the land, it would become a third story if they weren't raising the grade around a substantial portion of the house.
Yes.
I guess I want to say that, to me, this is, overall, it's a good thing to get buildings away from the river and to raise the elevation above the floodplain. We don't see people investing in this kind of thing much around the city where we have floodplain issues. And so I'm tempted personally not to worry about the actual height of the building above natural grade, or that it may seem, you know, higher, because in fact the entire grade is raised. With respect to the drainage business, the other thing that, because the family is proposing to essentially move the building but rebuild the building at a higher elevation, they're also subjecting themselves to the Conservation Commission. So, and who are, in my experience, extremely rigorous, and if there's and would have to work closely with engineering in order to get all the approvals they're going to need from this point forward. So I'm not concerned about whether or not they use pervious. If the Conservation Commission is going to allow pervious pavement close to the river, then, you know, they'll have to submit documents to show that, you know, that they're trapping the gas and oils and that sort of thing. So I'm not concerned about that either. I actually thought this was a pretty straightforward petition after all of that. That all of that is on the petitioner, not on us.
Is there any further questions on this?
No, thank you.
Okay. Anybody else have questions at this time? All right. I'm going to see if there's any member of the public who wishes to be heard on this petition. Come on up, sir, please.
Good evening.
Good evening, Neil Feeney, 22 Melbourne Terrace. I live in the house across the street. We are opposed to the approval of the non-conforming use for special permit for number 17 Melbourne Terrace for the following reasons. In 1946, when the special permit was approved, there were no other homes on Melbourne Terrace. When the four other homes were built between 1949 and 1955, all were permitted as single family. There is no other two-family in the entire Islington Peninsula neighborhood where zoning is SR3. The nearest two-family is on Commonwealth Avenue. With some of the exceptions that Chuck described, basically since we've lived there in 1983, it's been one extended family living at 17 Malvern Terrace. A two-family structure occupied by unrelated tenants is not in keeping with the zoning or character of Malvern Terrace and the neighborhood, and if approved, may be a detrimental negative factor in terms of surrounding property values. There are other issues related to the planned non-conforming use request, some of them mentioned previously this evening, such as the overall size or volume of the building, the increase in height, logically from two stories to three stories, consisting of the drive-in ground level garage, plus the two floors above. The significant front elevation change to raise the front area from the current level up to the first floor level, and with all due respect to the architect, my house is not 6 feet above the sidewalk grade. It's more like 4 feet. Also, the very limited amount of on-street parking for guests and tenants due to the small radius of the terrace, snow piles and snow removal issues at the end of the terrace, including narrow vehicular access, and also the fire hydrant accessibility, which is at the end of the terrace. We have no objection to fully support a single-family home at 17 Malvern Terrace, consistent with the single residence 3 zoning that is not detrimental to the neighborhood. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Does anyone else wish to be heard on this petition? Come on up, please, sir.
My name is David Ingham. I am at 14 Malvern Terrace, directly across the street. And I guess first I'd like to be clear that I'd like to see my neighbor Chuck successful with a renovation. I was able to build a property across the street, and I think you're entitled to do the same. But I have concerns over... by the way, I'm not opposed to moving the property. I'm not opposed to the structure. I trust the Planning Commission to manage the driveway, the height of the building, the floor area ratio, all those kinds of things. I think you guys are professional at that, and or do it, and we'll get it right. I'm deeply concerned, as Neil is, about a two-family home in the neighborhood, for all the reasons that you'd expect. We would see more cars. I think we've been talking about it as non-conforming since 1946. But it really is a single entrance of the mother-in-law apartment. When we purchased our home across the street, we thought we were purchasing a home in a single-family residence area. So for me, the big one is the two-family. I'm not sure why it needs to be a two-family. By the way, the flood is terrible. Moving it out of the floodplain and the mitigating things that you're doing for that, I think is great. I don't have a problem with that at all. I think, and by the way, I appreciate the effort to sort of conceal it as a two-family by having entrances around the side. I get all that. It isn't clear to me why it needs to be a two-family in a single resident neighborhood. So I don't know what the impact to my investment would be. I'm not an expert. I would hope that you guys have some data around, what happens when we put a two-family in the middle of a clear two-family in the middle of a single-family residence neighborhood. I'm not opposed to the construction. I'm opposed to the two-family house in the single-family residence. So that's my statement.
Thank you, sir. Anybody else wish to be heard on this petition? Come on up, ma'am.
Hi, Diane Kemsley-Cossabon. I just wanted to respond to a couple of the inquiries made. The home has been a two-family. My husband and I would not have moved into it if I didn't have privacy and my separate space. So we did live very separately from his father. But the other thing I wanted to say is that it has been a two-family home. It is not in good shape. The new structure will conform to the look and feel of the property and will be a substantial improvement in the neighborhood. So I can't possibly see how it would reduce values in the neighborhood. And then to answer the final question, if this cannot be made a two-family, we will not be able to proceed. We will not be able to afford it. So we would be pushed out of the neighborhood. And that would be sad to my husband because he's lived here all his life. Thank you.
Is there any other member of the public who wishes to be heard on this petition? All right, seeing none, do I have a motion to close the public hearing? Councilor Harney is your ward. You don't have to make the motion if you prefer not to.
First of all, I apologize for being late. Sometimes our real jobs get in the way of our life here at City Hall, so I'm sorry. Had to work late tonight. I'm just wondering whether the members of the committee that aren't familiar with this neighborhood in this area might want to have a site visit and you know, see what the unique characteristics are of where we're talking about here out on the peninsula. So I'm not sure.
I'm currently Councilor Auchincloss. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm fairly familiar with it. I was there last summer. I actually remember that home. I'm not sure what a site visit is going to show us. It's right on the water. It needs to be higher.
I have personally no problem with the idea of moving a house back from right on the river to further, closer to the street. I mean, it makes good sense as people have suffered a lot of hardship from floods. I mean, that's all very logical. I guess where I'm having some trouble is the change in grade and how the change in grade is affecting what is now being allowed. I hear what Councillor Crosley said. That does concern me. This is not a by right petition. This is a special permit. And I understand the needs and desires of the homeowners to maintain a two-family home, but this is a single-family residence, and single-family zone, excuse me. And I need to think about that, frankly, a little more. That's just my view. I'm open to a site visit if you think that would be helpful. I hear if others don't, I'm not going to certainly impose that on everybody.
Councilor Schwartz? Just a couple of thoughts on the site visit as well as the other comments that have been made. I certainly think that I would benefit from a site visit, although I don't think it's absolutely essential. I think that we've seen the maps. We understand the nature of the surrounding community as being single family. It really doesn't, for me, it doesn't affect the zone question because I don't think that's really an issue here, unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on which side of this you're on. For those neighbors who spoke about how this shouldn't be a two-family, I'm afraid that ship has already sailed. I mean, this is a two-family by zoning because it's been allowed. I guess, you know, we do have to consider whether it's going to be more detrimental, substantially detrimental, if we continue the non-conforming allowance. So that, you know, looking at some of the sizes of the houses in the neighborhood, which we could either do individually or on a site visit, might be helpful from a site visit. But I don't think that's going to affect my decision as whether it can be a two-family, because that's really, I think, not...
Could I just get some clarification from the law department? Because it was has been permitted currently as a two-family, but we're asking for a new permit, is the two-family essentially grandfathered in, or is it a new? And if you don't know the answer, that's fair too. I just sprung the question on you, so.
The two-family is a grandfathered use. It's a non-conforming use, but they're seeking to increase the non-conformity. So
if they wanted to build a new structure on the site, are they entitled as a matter of right to build a two-family, or is it or not?
I believe they would be entitled to replace the existing structure on the footprint as a two-family.
On the footprint, but once the footprint gets moved, you lose that right.
I believe so.
All right. Okay. Councilor Lipoff?
So to follow with that, are you saying that the use is open for us to change because they're moving the foundation?
I'm not saying that that's not what I'm saying. The use isn't open for the council or the committee to change. They're not...
You don't have that power.
You don't have the power to change it. They're asking to continue the use.
We could deny the continuance of that use.
An expanded...
You deny
they're asking for. You can deny what they're requesting, certainly.
Okay, and then
whether or not you can require it to be a single-family house, I'd say the answer to that is no, they're not requesting that.
Okay, so that's interesting. So we can't do that. If we deny it, they can continue the use as a two-family where it is, but if they choose to move it, and we deny the two-family, well, then they're not moving it at all either. My thoughts on this is there's I'm in real estate. I own a real estate appraisal company. I can tell all of you who are concerned about the value of your home that having a two-family home across from you in the city of Newton is not going to change your value one bit. And I think that the bundle of rights I take very seriously about what we buy and the continuous use as a two-family as it was, and I would have a problem with changing the use of this property. It should remain a two-family. I don't mind the fact that you're moving it. It's a wonderful thing. What I'm still kicking around is the elevation and the heights. But I think that the discussion of this home being anything else than a two-family is not appropriate.
Councilor Crosley, and then I'm going to offer a suggestion how we deal with this. Go ahead.
Okay. So I just want to go back to the height. Clearly, the height of the structure is going to be more than it is currently. It's lower on the site, and the whole point of this is to raise the first floor elevation above today's flood levels, or potential flood levels today. So we're left with doing that or not doing it, or because the first floor has to be where they're putting it, or it doesn't make sense to do the project, right? So does that mean you can't have a second story? That doesn't seem right. Building right now has a second story, and it's within our dimensional regulations. So are we troubled by raising the grade rather than exposing more of the lower level? I think probably raising the grade is a gentler way to present the house to the street so that it doesn't appear as, and in fact would then be counted as, three stories. And then we'd have to give a waiver for three stories. Essentially, they're taking the house they have in a slightly larger footprint, but they're taking the house they have and they're turning it and they're putting it at a higher elevation in order to stay out of the floodplain.
But that affects mass and appearance in the street. I mean, I'm troubled by it. Let me put this, I understand the need for it, and I'm just trying to grapple with it, okay? That's all. What I'm going to suggest, hold on. Do you have something you want to add, Mr. Walter?
I do, Mr. Chairman. One thing I would like to say is that the two units that will be created by this are approximately 1,800 square foot, which is small relatively for two-family houses and appropriate as per the comprehensive plan. So I think that they are appropriately sized. And the other thing I'd like to say is that as far as the grading, part of the grading was not just for aesthetics. We had to raise the grade in the front of the building so that we could provide the proper site drainage. Because three-quarters of the site is within the floodplain and the rest of it is less than a foot above the floodplain, we have to raise the grade in order to provide a drainage system for the site as required by the Conservation Commission.
Appreciate that. Unless the committee feels that they need to act on this tonight, I would like to hold this item. Counselor Harney, do you want to see if you can talk to the petitioner and for those of us who want to visit the site, arrange to do so?
Sure.
Maybe you can confer with Ms. Khan and we can do a quick site visit some morning. We will, if we take this up, just so we have time, and we are going to have a meeting the last week of July. Now, it's up to the will of the committee. If the committee wants to try to move this tonight, you know, I'll defer to the will of the group. Councilor Auchincloss?
I'm ready to vote.
You are. Councilor Schwartz? What do you think? You would have seen tonight. Councilor Harney, is your ward?
The will of the committee is to vote, I will be abstaining this evening.
My sense is I'd prefer to hold this item. We will act on it in July, which means it will be heard in August by the full council. I'm concerned that if we have two absent members this evening and a couple of abstentions that goes to the full board, I'm concerned we'll get questions there, and I'd rather just try to deal with it in committee and answer our questions. All right, so, Councilor Fosley?
Is it possible we could take this up before the end of July?
Well, we have how many items do we have on the 28th now? We have the storage facility, and I've got three other items, and I've got the ore building on July 12th.
I'm just thinking that unless we have grave concerns, the petitioner is going to miss the construction season.
Fine. I'll take this up on the 28th if that's the will of the committee. Go ahead, Councilor.
Why don't we vote it tonight? You want to abstain, abstain. You have time before, you have time before the next full board meeting to do your site visit, to get your questions answered. You need to put it on second call. Why not?
I second that suggestion.
Pardon?
I think it's a good suggestion. We have second call, so we can vote it out tonight, and then we can hash it out over second call if there's still lingering concerns.
Councilor Schwartz?
We can do whatever the will of the committee is. I think I would personally defer to the ward representative if he'd like us to come out there. I'm going to come out there either way.
Councilor Harney?
I think that members of the committee should see this location and understand what's been brought up here. I personally would like a little bit more time to, talk with the neighbors, and we just got some emails recently and a lot more information to us. And, I have not had the time due to personal situation going on in my life to really thoroughly do what I normally do in a petition in my ward. So
why don't we do this? Look, it's up to the committee. I think we're better off. I don't want to do committee business on the floor of the board. I really don't. We have a board meeting next Monday night. If people, do you feel you could talk to the folks between now and then to see... to get a comfort level, Councilor Harney?
I just don't know if Monday night's very soon in terms of already Tuesday, so I'd have a lot of trouble voting on Monday night.
It's really up to the will of the committee. I'll entertain a motion. If you want to move to approve it, we can approve it. We're going to have, I will abstain tonight. I think Councilor Schwartz said he'd abstain, Councilor Harney said he'd abstain. I will certainly try to do my homework. Just for the record, I'll try to do my homework just like Councilor Schwartz said before Monday night. So if you want to try to put it on Monday night, I'll do that.
I recognize that it's not ideal to do our committee business in front of the whole city council, but if that's what we need to do so that they can hit the construction window this summer, then let's do it. I mean, we're here to do the people's business. Let's get it done.
Councilor Schwartz?
Chairman, is there an objection to moving to the 28th, which is only 2 weeks of a delay?
Well, why don't we hear from the petitioner's counsel? I mean, when are you planning on breaking ground here, realistically?
I think for my client, that adjustment to the counsel from Ward 4, if you will take it up on the 28th,
we could live with that.
Okay. Alright, well, if that's the case, then we will take it up on the 28th. I know we're going to make lots of other people unhappy that evening, but we will. And it means the full council will hear it on the 11th. And that will be sufficient time for you to undertake the project?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you for your courtesy.
No, it's a very fair, I appreciate Councilors Rosh and Klotz and Lipoff raising that. We are trying to make sure that we balance the need of being deliberate with the idea that people have real projects that they need to do. Alright, so I'm going to keep the public hearing open. Do I need a motion to hold this? Want to get a motion to hold by Councilor Harney? All in favor of hold, that's got six in favor, none opposed, it's held. We will take this up on the 28th. The 28th, it's going to be a fairly long meeting, folks. Just a heads up. Okay, thank you very much for your patience. And will you, Councilor Harney, arrange with Petitioner's Councilor and Ms. Khan to see if we can get a time to go out there, probably the week of the 20th, I would think. What we can do. Okay? Thank you very much. All right, next, 176-16, special permit to extend a non-conforming three-story structure, 47 Lewis Street, Catherine Griesbach and Ronan Wolfsdorf. This is 47 Lewis Street, Ward 1, and they're adding some dormers. Good evening.
Good evening, Chairman, Vice Chairman, committee members. My name is Ronan Wolfsdorf. This is my wife, Katie Grenzebach. We have three children who couldn't make it because of the hour. We live on the second floor of a two-level two-family house. It happens to have a very good-sized attic with a very high center ridge, maybe almost 11 feet, which makes it a natural area for development for a master suite or additional uses, and the family's expanding. So what we're seeking to do relative to completing a master suite there is to add dormers, two in total, that are balanced on the left side and right side of this horizontal structure. There happens to be a dormer in the rear. The intention is to keep these two proposed dormers consistent with what's existing. In other words, I guess they're 10 by 10 dormers. And I guess that's it.
Right? Great. Thank you. Questions from members of the committee? So you're not changing anything but adding some dormers on the third floor. Is that the gist of it?
That's right.
Okay. No questions from the committee. I'm going to just see if there's any public comments before we get to planning. Is there any member of the public who wishes to be heard on this petition? Seeing none, folks can grab a seat. It's Ward 1. I know our president's not here this evening, but I'm going to entertain a motion to close the public hearing. Councilor Auchincloth from neighboring Ward 2, and Lewis Street is right on the border there, so it's good. We have a motion to close the public hearing. All in favor of closing the public hearing? Councilor Schwartz? Five in favor, none opposed. Public hearing is closed. Mr. Gruber, is this yours? Or Mr. Klein?
Yes.
Take it away.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Due to the grade of the property, the attic level which the petitioner referenced is non-conforming, so it would require a special permit to further increase the number of non-conforming stories with the dormers. When reviewing the request, the proposed increase in the number of stories and non-conforming was detrimental than the existing non-conforming structure is to the neighborhood. That is the area of the neighborhood. The neighborhood does contain a mix of structures. Some are similar in nature, some are smaller. It is a well-balanced neighborhood. The proposed site plan. As you can see, these are the existing versus proposed elevations. The corners are on the left and right side of the building. So, if you have any questions?
Questions by members of the committee? Councilor Schwartz?
I just want to clarify something Mr. Cronin said. So we're not going from 2.5 to 3.5. It's already non-conforming at 3.5.
Correct.
So it's just because there's a change in the non-conforming structure that we're having to approve it.
Correct. Since you're altering the non-conforming, nature of the structure, so that requires a special permit.
And the standard for that is substantially detrimental.
Correct.
More substantially detrimental.
Mm-hmm.
And so the height is the same. It already is considered 3.5 stories at this time. So we're asked to look at whether the dormers are more substantially detrimental.
Correct.
Okay. A question for the planning department. Seeing none, have a motion to approve. Councilor Auchincloss has moved to approve. Draft board order, Mr. Cronin.
Think I'm out of juice. Don't mind the number, that is a mistake. There are no 1 and 2.
Okay. Well, are we actually increasing the number of non-conforming stories here, or? Mr. Waddick?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Cronin and I have discussed this. We had a chance to review this afternoon. We didn't have an opportunity to change this. Actually, we're increasing the nonconformity of the structure by adding dormers. We're not increasing the number of stories, so we're gonna tweak that language to reflect that. The change is the addition of dormers, and that's what increases the nonconformity. The number of stories stays the same. 2.5 is what's allowed. 3.5 is what exists, and it's going to stay at 3.5.
Fine. Just as a matter of drafting, I know we all know what FAR is, but I think our orders ought to spell FAR out. All right, so somebody reading this as future generations will understand what we did. Okay, questions on the findings with that change? Yes, Councilor Schwartz.
All right, so the FAR does go up 0.1 or 0.01 or whatever because there's a little extra area that is counted under the dormer, but that's still obviously within the FAR. It looks like that was in the meeting notice. It went from on the zoning memo, it went from 0.46 to 0.47, where 0.51 is allowed.
That is correct.
Okay. So, all right. Findings are set then with that amendment. Conditions, Mr. Cronin? Anything unusual here?
Standard conditions, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. We have a motion by Councilor Auchincloss, all in favor of approval. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 6 in favor, none opposed. Thank you very much. This will be taken up on Monday evening. No need to appear. Presumably, allowed routinely. You can talk to our committee clerk or the planning department about any process issues. Best of luck. Thank you very much for coming in. All right. Next, we have two more items this evening. The next item is 177-16. Special permit petition to waive 13 parking stalls at 1375, 1379 Washington Street. Ron Soloff, Kenmore Realty Corporation. This is a proposal to take over some square footage to have 37 square seats at Blue Ribbon Barbecue in Ward 3. The petitioner here. Good evening.
Hi. Thank you for your time. My name is Jocko Batosi. I'm the general manager of Blue Ribbon Barbecue. And we are proposing to expand into the 1379 space to increase our seats from 12 to 49.
Straightforward proposal. What's there currently next door?
Ryan Insurance. Insurance company.
All right. So, any member of the public wish to be heard on this petition? Come on up, please. Good evening, gentlemen.
Hi, I'm Bruce Walensky, and I'm Mark Rotner. We own 1383, 1387 Washington Street, and we're not fundamentally opposed to the Blue Ribbon adding seating, but we own the parking lot where the Blue Ribbon diners end up congregating, and it affects our tenants. So we just want to know if there's a plan in place to mitigate the parking on our lot, if they're going to increase by 4 times the seating.
Forgive me, I'm not following you. You own which parking lot, gentlemen?
We're next to you.
I know exactly where it is, but I'm trying to understand.
We own the property next door. It's 1381-1389 Washington Street. First of all, you know, our fear is that, and again, we're not fundamentally opposed to an expansion of Blue Ribbon. We love Blue Ribbon. Everybody loves Blue Ribbon. But we're concerned about an exacerbation of a problem in this area with public parking, generally, and more specifically, we're concerned about the unauthorized use of our own parking lot, which is frequented by patrons of various facilities in the area, several restaurants, not to mention the fitness place, Boston Sports Club. People come and go, and it's a constant battle for us having to tow people out, not only during the business hours, after hours, and with all that, we're just concerned about this parking situation.
I don't want to engage in a back and forth with public comment, but I do want to just pose a question. Has there been thought given to after hours leasing of your parking area to one or more of these establishments?
We would consider that. But to answer your question where our parking lot is, we own between Washington Street and Border Street. It literally, the back alley, Blue Ribbon, goes right into our parking lot.
It's your land. I'm posing the question simply because, as you know, we have a relative shortage of parking in West Newton. You've identified a real problem that you're having. It might provide benefit to you, financial and otherwise, and might actually be useful to the other tenants in the area if there was some ability for people to use some of those spaces.
Well, all 37 of our parking spaces are used by our current tenants. So right now we have businesses in the area where their customers will park, and we do our best not to interfere with it. It just so happens Blue Ribbon's very popular, and a lot of the Blue Ribbon diners will park there. Then we have to deal with the issue with our current tenants. So we just want to know if they could put a plan in place.
Okay.
We're more than willing to work with them, if they're going to increase the size of their business by 4 times.
Thank you, gentlemen. Questions from, well, why don't we hear from the planning department, and then I'll take questions from counselors. Is this yours, Mr. Cronin?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Blue Ribbon Barbecue is expanding into the tenant space next door, and they are increasing their seats by 37. Due to the calculations in the zoning ordinance, that expansion to 49 seats also carries with it a requirement for 13 additional parking stalls. There is no space on site for the stalls, so the petitioner is seeking to waive the excess 13 stalls that are required.
Comments or questions by my colleagues? Councilor Cody?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. So I represent Ward 3, Councilor Lodge. And so speaking with Councilor Lodge, Chester here, and Barbara and myself, we don't have a big issue with this based on the fact that the number of parking stalls cited by planning covers that. But I understand you gentlemen are having some kind of an issue with people using your particular reserve spots, from what I understand. Is that correct?
Just come up to the microphone, if you would, please, sir. Come up to the microphone, please.
I don't think the issue is limited to our property. I have an office at 1383 Washington Street. I'm there all day long, every day, and I have people coming to my office frequently. And 6 years ago, it wasn't such a big problem to get a public parking space. Now it's not that easy, and not only during business hours, but after business hours, because of the restaurants that have opened up, it's just the spaces are filling up. People just can't find a place to park that easily.
Yes, I mean we hear what you're saying because we understand that in Weston we have traffic and parking issues. So that's something possibly to have a meeting.
Sure.
You want to hold so we have a meeting with everybody to kind of talk to. But the bottom line is it's an ongoing thing. It's been going on for a long time, and we see that there are a number of stalls in the area support the businesses.
but I can understand people with their own convenience is probably taking the closest spots. And I'm not sure about the market, so I can't recall how your parking lot is marked and how you delineate between your parking spaces and the general parking.
Can I suggest this? Why don't we
hold it?
I'd like to take this one offline. We have a petition here from Blue Ribbon. We're not dealing directly with your parking situation now, but I think what you're hearing from Councilor Cody is that all the councilors from Ward 3 would be more than happy to sit down and talk to you about ways that they can help facilitate some solutions here.
And if you'd be kind enough to talk to the business that is in front of you, because the first time we heard about it was when we got a notice from the mill.
Sure.
It has been an ongoing. I mean, you know, we would like a solution that they could help, you know, with their customers going in.
Thank you. Councilor Crosby, then Ocean Cross, and Schwartz.
So it seems to me it would be reasonable to ask the petitioner to comment on how they intend to instruct their patrons with respect to this particular parking lot, but just with respect to how they're going to manage with.
Well, we ask if it's okay with you, Councilor Crosby, let's just ask him. Sir, do you want to come on up and try to answer Councilor Crosby's question?
All I can say is fine. You know, it's public space as far as we did the parking study. There's 277 spots within a 5-minute walk around our area. We did the parking study for over 5 days, and it shows that there are plenty of spots during our peak hours for lunch and dinner that would support us for.
I have to differ with you on that conclusion. Friday and Saturday nights, according to your study, there would now be about 2 spaces available.
And on top of what was required.
Right.
On average,
there's a minimal amount of extra parking available on Friday and Saturday nights now.
But it's above the required amount.
Barely. Go ahead, Councilor Clark.
But it's above the required amount.
I'd just like to follow up, though. That's correct.
That's correct.
The question is how you might instruct your patrons to find parking or direct them to parking that is available. So it's one thing to do an area study and determine that there is sufficient parking for this use on top of all the other uses. It's another thing to get your clients not to take somebody's space.
As we all know, people are going to park where they park. If they see a no parking sign, they should not park there. I don't know how that burden falls on us.
Okay. Sir, you're here for a special permit,
correct,
which is something that's discretionary, okay? Typically, when a petitioner comes in here and we're talking about a special permit, we want to accommodate you. We want the business to succeed, but I think you're hearing very legitimate concerns from at least one abutter, a couple of abutters, and the counselors about how you're managing the parking at your establishment. And I don't think, respectfully, I think there are parking management plans that petitioners often adopt. They work with the planning department and develop them. They actually improve your business. They improve the availability of parking, and that's what I think we're getting at. Ms. Anand, do you want to jump in?
We're open for any suggestions, absolutely.
Ms. Anand, do you want to jump in?
I wanted to raise the issue that this is a concern that the planning department is very aware of. I know the counselors from this ward have been very active in working with the planning department, and I think maybe you didn't realize Neil has some more information to present that might help alleviate some of these concerns.
Okay. Well, why don't we do this? Why don't we hear from Mr. Cronin about what information he has that he can share with us, and we can then move on.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I spoke briefly with other members of the planning department today. There is a citywide transportation strategy which will be released later this fall. Parking management is going to be an aspect of that, and parking management as a resource. There's a Newton Center parking study being conducted right now. It's in draft form, ways to manage parking and kind of offset the congestion and minimize it. So the Newton Center strategy, or sorry, the citywide transportation strategy is going to seek to adopt the suggestions of the Newton Center's plan, some of which may include availability goals. The industry standard is roughly 15% for on-street parking available. For lots, it would be 5 to 10%. So the availability goal would seek to aim to get 15% of the spots on the block space available and set the price to reach that goal. So if there's too many cars there, you would increase the price. If there's not enough cars there, you would decrease the price. Another strategy is demand-based pricing. This would effectively, with Saturday night at 7 o'clock as a peak time, instead of time limits like you usually see in Newton, you would see increased prices.
There are no prices and no time limits on Saturday nights in Newton.
Okay.
Period. We turn the meters off at 6 right now.
This strategy would bump those meters up.
For the life of me, if someone wants to go to the dinner at the local or Blue Ribbon, they'll throw money into the meter to go there. Just putting my 2 cents out. Councillor Schwartz, did you want to add something here?
I don't want to cut off the planning department to have more to explain, but I would just comment, having looked at the Newton Center parking study and having had it presented early and often to me, some of the concerns that have been raised by the chair just now are shared by some of the counselors in Ward 6 and some of the businesses in Ward 6 because of the concerns that you increase that pricing, you're actually going to harm, yes, you're going to have more spaces because fewer people are going to come there. So there's another element, though, I would point out to the strategy, which at least the consultants think is quite beneficial and has a lot of potential, although, again, in Newton Center we're not so sure, is to try to achieve more spots in private lots that might not be currently utilized. There's a very rosy projection in Newton Center that there's a whole bunch of private spaces and private lots that are available, just not being utilized. And if we just talk nicely to the owners of those private lots, that they'll be available. We have some doubts about that in Newton Center, but I think it's actually very apropos the discussion that we just started having in this meeting tonight, because we have basically the owners of a private lot right now who are raising the concern that without the help of the business that's before us trying to have our discretionary approval, they're not very hopeful that the problem that they're facing of illegal parking in their lots by the customers of the business are going to be redirected. So I would only add my voice to the concerns that have been raised so far by the counselors in this hearing, that the petitioner should seriously consider how to engage with the neighbors and neighboring businesses that have raised this concern, because if you don't have a traffic demand policy and you don't see it as partly your problem, then it's going to be hard to get my discretionary vote.
I don't want to cut you off, Mr. Cronin, but I appreciate the city as a citywide transportation policy that is trying to develop, but I must say we're increasing here, and I'm in favor of this petition, so I'm very clear. We're increasing the amount of restaurant usage in the area. People are not going to walk to these restaurants by and large at night. There is no public transit there. So the issue is the sheer number of spaces. And we're either going to cut back on the number of patrons if we turn them away because of our strategy, or we're not going to have enough parking spaces. I don't think it's a situation where people are going to be on Saturday nights seeking alternative methods of transportation. So I would, if there's more you want to talk about the citywide transportation strategy for this petition, I'd welcome it. But I think we're better off this evening focusing on the petition in front of us and perhaps, more than perhaps, most likely incorporating some kind of requirement of a parking management plan in a board order. I don't think it's fair to hold these folks up to deal with a much bigger city problem. At the same time, we've heard some very legitimate concerns from some neighbors. Is that okay with the counselors? I don't want to... Is that okay with you folks, that we not try to engage in a discussion about citywide transportation tonight? Okay.
That's right.
Counselor, rip off the knocking clock.
Just something very simple, because I can't get it out of my head. You know, I go into a lot of businesses in Newton and around where when you open the door, there's a sign, and it says, do not park in this lot or you will get towed. And that's what the Blue Ribbon needs to do to help their neighbor not have the spaces be filled with people that shouldn't be there. I hope that you guys have signs all over the place. You will be towed. This is private. Do not park here for any other use. It would be great if you guys got together and found some way after hours to rent some parking or what have you. But just put a sign there telling your patrons, don't do that. Be a good neighbor. That's all it takes.
Thank you. Councilor Archipas, do you want to add to that?
Yeah, I'm in favor of this petition as well, but I'm not going to be voting in favor of it tonight because I don't think the second and third criteria are met. We clearly have a parking issue here, and I'm not going to be voting in favor of this until these parties sit down under the auspices of the Ward 3 councilors and figure out a solution that meets these. We're not there yet.
Well, I think we can put some conditions. My view, you can put conditions in a board order that requires you. If you're not comfortable with that, that's fine.
I'd rather have it come from the parties involved rather than us imposing it top down.
Councilor Cody?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Now, I can see Councilor Archenclaw's position on this, but also being a restaurant and being a business, I don't want to limit them from their ability to make this move and go forward, knowing that there is considerable amounts of parking there. Now, having said that, the conditions that you say that we could do, I would welcome that we do some of that, because signage is a simple solution to this in the parking lots where people would potentially be offending and using illegal parking space.
Councilor Crosley?
Yeah, I was looking for what Rick was said. I was not looking for a discussion on the transportation planning policies and parking studies and so forth. And it seems to me that there are enough spaces. It's more challenging today, for sure. People might have to walk a block or two, for sure. But if we can condition that there's parking management taking place in the restaurant by the very simple fact of putting a sign up front and, you know, telling people once there, then once as you hit the alley, and once as you, you know, people should get the message.
Why don't I suggest this? I think we've heard public comment. Unless there's anybody else in the public who should have heard, I'd like to close the public hearing, and I'll entertain a motion to approve, unless, you know, Councilor Archenclaw, you want to speak as to why we should hold this item.
Well, to Councilor Crossley's point, yes, I'm a big believer in parking demand management, and I actually disagree with Councilor Schwartz that you do want more turnover with higher fares, but that's a separate issue. The point is that the overarching message from parking demand management experts is that the number of spaces is less important than the semiotics around the parking spaces and the way you price them. We haven't figured that out in West Newton, and I don't think we're going to do a good job in a board order right now of telling them how to do it in vague terms when they could sit down for 2 hours with Councilor Cody or Councilor Tesmahan there, get a solution together, and then we vote on it in 2 weeks. It's going to be the more robust and the more actionable and the more productive because they determined it rather than us.
I think, though, that I guess I'd suggest it strikes me there's a level of detail that I'm not sure this committee needs to approve. We could put in order is that they have to consult with the planning department, for example, and their plan has to be approved.
Normally I would agree, but the acceptance criteria here they're asking for a waiver of parking, and the acceptance criteria hinge on that not being a problem for the neighborhood. We just heard it is very much a problem.
How critical is it for you to expand this in the next 2 weeks? Could you just come up to the microphone, please, sir? When are you planning to do this work, in other words?
It's still under negotiation, so there's no rush.
All right. If that's the case, then I would certainly want to accommodate Councilor Archenclaw. If we put this on for the end of July, is that going to be problematic for you from a business point of view? Okay. All right. Then I'm going to suggest, I think we'll leave the public hearing open, okay? we'll entertain a motion to hold, and we'll put it on for our last meeting in July, with the expectation, gentlemen, that you get an opportunity to converse in detail between now and then, that you work with Councillor Cody and the other councillors, and that you're able to come back and report to us, hopefully, a quite satisfactory solution out of the way. Is that okay? Yes. Councillor Schwartz.
So I agree with this, despite what Councillor Ockenkloss said about my understanding of demand side parking. But I do think, though, that when you look at some of the previous orders with conditions that we have passed for some of these businesses, just like this one, that are in an area that has a parking issue, it's been more than just a negotiation with one lot. It's been things, and more than just signs. It's been the website.
Sure.
It's been the employee, and encouragement to take the T or the bus. It's been ride sharing. So I think that all those elements, maybe the planning department can work with the petitioner and try to fashion a robust plan.
I was going to suggest that if Mr. Cronin, if you'd be willing, since you're the lead person on this, to work with the counselors and the petitioners to help them fashion something, that'd be greatly appreciated.
Absolutely.
Great. Okay, do I have a motion to hold this item? Motion to hold by Councilor Cody. All in favor of holding? 3-6. Councilor Bosley? Hold. 7 in favor of holding. We'll take it up the last week in July, Tuesday the 26th, 8th? 26th. All right. Mm-hmm. Thank you all. All right. Next and last item of the evening, 178-16, special permit petition to further increase the non-conforming FAR at 49 Hawthorne Ave, John Aroney and Daniel Aroney. This to extend to add a 227 square foot addition over existing living space to construct a detached garage in Ward 4. Councillor Harney, are you going to get, there's a woman who wanted to be heard on this, who's next door, I believe. You could just wait one moment while my colleague gets a couple of people from next door.
Sure.
You're fine. Okay. Good evening, sir. Why don't you go ahead and start, please?
Sir, good evening. My name is John Aroney. Good evening. I'm speaking in regards to 39 Hawthorne Avenue, petition number 178-16. I promise I will keep this short and sweet. If you want me to elaborate, I'm more than willing and capable of doing so. Thank you. The property of 39 Hawthorne Avenue consists of 9,602 square foot lot at the corner of Hawthorne Avenue and Unity Street. The site is improved with a single-family residence constructed in 1848 and moved to the present location in 1906. The house was used as a student dorm for LaSalle Female Seminary from 1907 to 1974 when it was converted back to a single-family residential use. I, John Aroney, am proposing a 256-square-foot second-story addition over existing living space, as well as to construct a 672-square-foot detached garage structure. These additions will further increase the non-conforming FAR, requiring a special permit. After reading the prepared memorandum by Mr. Greta, I sense that there are 7 points that the committee most likely would want to address and have me establish. I'm willing to do so now at this point, or after further review, if they want to address that at the conclusion of their presentation, we can do so then. However, the committee wishes to...
Why don't you do this? If there's something that's particularly important that you want to bring to our attention or try to address, why don't you do so now?
Yes, sir.
But don't feel, don't feel obligated to go through every point in detail. Just what you think the important... Where you think there may be some issue of contention or concern.
Absolutely. Okay. First of which, there are two trees on the property. One is a rather large tree in front of the home. That is going to stay. It seemed like there was some concern to that. That tree will stay. Number two, there was a second tree to the rear of the property. It was mentioned that some type of retaining structure be constructed. Months back, it's been approved by tree warden Mark Welch on a site plan deemed as unsafe.
The tree is unsafe.
Deemed as unsafe, yes, correct, sir. And it's been marked and approved to have removed, which will be done. Number two, sidewalk improvement. I've already paid for this. March 15th of 2016, receipt in hand to have the sidewalks done as well as the city offered curbing project. Number three, provide evidence that the homeowner signed the general permit application. I have the general permit application in hand, as well as emailed to Mr. Michael Gleba, as well as one of the owners is here today. That being said, I was also asked to provide a lot history detailing any changes to the extent of the property since at least 1953, including an explanation of how the lot may have been altered in 1974 when it was conveyed to the then LaSalle Junior College to the now current owners of record predecessor in title. Mr. Michael Gleber, I believe, was presented with that information from my land surveyor on Friday afternoon. If I'm mistaken, I do have it in hand as well.
Want to just pause you for a second, Mr. Cleaver? Is that to your satisfaction?
Yes, we did have concerns about when the log may have been formed, but his surveyor, Mr. Lane's surveyor, did produce some documentation showing that the log had existed since before 1953.
So that answers your question?
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead, please.
Thank you, Mr. Cleaver. Thank you. Okay. Second, which drain? A draining plan has been constructed. However, pending the approval of a two-car garage in which I'm seeking, a draining analysis will then be conducted immediately based on the City of Newton's 100-year storm event of 6 inches over a 24-hour period. So basically, today, after leaving here tonight, I'm seeking the approval of a 672-square-foot garage. If, in fact, that is granted, tomorrow I'm on this drainage program. Lastly, landscaping. It was suggested that I provide some type of landscape area between 39 Hawthorne Avenue and 29 Hawthorne Avenue. Consider it done. Some green emerald arborvitaes will be planted the entire length of the property line to provide cover and privacy for the next door neighbor.
All right. Good. Oh, don't go anywhere. Planning Department, you want to give us some brief summary, please?
Sure.
Oh, you're welcome to take a seat if you'd like, sir.
So the petition is seeking a special permit to build an increase in the non-conforming floor area of the current structure, or the current property. And the criteria to consider basically, whether the proposed increase of FAR for a ratio from 0.39 to 0.48, where 0.34 is the maximum allowed by right, the consistent with having variability against the size, scale, and design of other structures in the neighborhood, whether this is an appropriate location for the additional living space, which will enlarge the floor area of the single-family dwelling by 256 feet, with regard to the appropriate location for the proposed garage, which will certainly increase the total floor area of the property, the garage will be by 672 feet. So we would propose additional living space for adversely affecting the neighborhood, and whether the garage will adversely affect the neighborhood. By way of some background, here's a GIS map showing the location. The location is colored slightly in yellow.
Hawthorne Street
is to the right. Union Street is right below, intersecting with Hawthorne. This is the site plan. The existing building is shown. in this area. The need for grass is right to the rear of the property, behind the existing house. We can see here the property line, which we found more swimming. These are the existing elevations of the house as it exists now. Upper left hand facing Horton Street for orientation, the rear of the right, and the two side elevations to the right. By way of comparison, this shows the proposed elevation. The changes to the main house include the addition of a dormer on the front, an attic level. We also see the proposed addition on the back of the house. It's basically in this location. In this location, it is a small addition. In this location, both additions are above existing living space. And we'll get some photos before we show that better. That also has the proposed garage. So then the roof and building seat to the right of the existing home. And we'll also see it in the elevation below. The proposed elevation for the rear, again, is the garage. There's to the left of the existing structure. You see the extension or the addition to the second floor on the back of the house in this location. And you also see the small addition to the side of the house in this location. Here's some pictures of existing conditions. Here's the house from Portland. The intersection of Unity is to your left. And this is a view from the left-hand side. You can see where the addition to the back of the house is well above kind of an existing porch-like structure on the first floor. You also see the, actually you don't see the other addition here. This shows the location of both of those additions again. The three of them would be above the pre-flight section on the first floor to the left, the other addition above the extension to the rear on the right. As you can see, this section is where the garage was going, on the back of the left, at the intersection of the end, as you can see in this photo.
Mr. Greeter, is that tree on the right there going to stay?
That's from this place.
The tree that's getting taken down, is that in the rear, sir?
Yes, sir. It was in one of the fire photos. It had a pretty clear picture of it. There you go.
Okay.
That one is tilting to the right there.
Got it. Okay. Questions or comments from my colleagues for the moment? Is there any member of the public who, before I go further, is there any member of the public who wishes to be heard? Come on up, sir, please. Gentlemen. You can buck up if you want to see who goes first. Go ahead. Good evening.
Tim Moore, and I live at 55 Aspen, but I actually used to live on 30 Lake Avenue, which is around the corner. And I'm just concerned that the size of the garage is too dense for that property size.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Next, sir, please. Good evening.
I'm John Colbert. I live in the Moore's old house behind the house. We're generally also curious about the garage. My wife and I are wondering about its size, its height, its footprint, and we've been concerned about the trees more generally. I don't know, you know, the one that's supposed to, I guess, John, I didn't know that it's deemed it needs to go. I actually watched a tree cutter cut out down a tree on our border, which fell on the tree behind us as I was watching. So it just was a little concerning to me how quickly they went and how we're going to be maybe losing another one. I know John has talked a lot about putting in a lot of new trees, mature growth. That would be a concern of ours, both in terms of the screening between the neighbors. Clearly to the left, 29 Hawthorne, but also us behind us in terms of just screening and coverage and just kind of re-beautifying it, because it was really harsh clearing when it came. And we've been concerned, not terribly concerned about the proposed improvements to the house itself. It seems fairly modest, but really for us it comes back to the garage and making sure it's not too monstrous. We had some questions in the report about the engineering division memo, but I just think it was, I don't know, it seemed there was missing sections, but I don't think it was significant. I don't know if you guys saw that. We were also curious about the lot history. I didn't know about the report, the 1974 change. It's been a curious, but we're not totally sure how that all worked. But I think the general gist for us really comes back to the garage and the planting. That's it. Thank you.
You are correct that there seems to be something missing in the engineering report on page 1, if you look to the bottom of it.
It could be that the location of the photos of that test to the next page.
It says on-site soil testing is required too. There's clearly something missing in the text there.
Yeah, it's in text. I think there's some text missing.
Take a look at the bottom of page 1 of the engineering report.
Yeah, report.
It is what it is. I don't think it's significant, but worthy of note. Council, maybe we can see it before, if we approve this tonight, that we get a revised report, please, in our package for Friday so that people at least have full materials. Councilor Schwartz? You can take a seat, sir. Thank you.
So, yeah, Michael, could you comment on the issue as far as the lot coverage? I mean, at least the density of the lot with the garage added, that the comment from the neighbor was just raised. That had also caught my eye that... And it seems to be even more so in the pictures that you showed, that we're fitting a pretty large structure in the back there. How does that fit as far as setbacks, height, density?
So the required setback is 5 feet from the any property line to any garage. It's 6.1 feet from the rear and side lot line. As to the size, it is 28 by 24 and 21 feet high. So it's a fairly large two-car garage. It cannot fit three, but a two-car garage as well is somewhat large.
Is it tall for a two-car garage as well, or no?
There's no usable space above, so it's not particularly high now.
Is the height driven by the floor area as far as how peak the roof has to be or something like that?
I think basically the floor area of the garage is just the ground floor, nothing above that.
I didn't mean the floor area ratio, I just meant if it's tall for a garage, whether that's because it's a slightly larger base or...
I mean, conceivably you can put a different kind of roof. You can put in some space and that though it's high.
This
garage was approved by the historic commission.
Okay, but I think we're asking for your opinion. The report had specific comments saying they think the garage is too big, and we're trying to get a sense, is it too big? If so, why? And does the proposed screening make a difference?
Like I said, it is more of a two-car garage. I believe it could be made smaller and still accommodate two cars. The proposed screening should take care of, we believe, of the impact, the visual impact on abutters. It could be made smaller. Whether the planning department is going to insist upon that, I don't particularly necessarily want to recommend that, but I said it is a fairly large garage that could be made smaller.
For what it's worth, right. I'm struggling with that because, you know, my garage at home is rather small. I mean, I'd like a bigger garage. It's all relative. I could definitely use a bigger garage. But it's all relative. And I think we're just struggling with, is it big enough for two fairly large-sized vehicles? Is there a lot of extra space in there? How does the massing look on the site from a planning perspective? That's what we're struggling with. I mean, we're having a hard time with it.
So it is 28 by 24. And it has two car garages. I believe it could be 24 by 20, roughly.
Go as small as 400 square feet. Kishner wanted to go larger. We thought it seemed a little large. That was our comment.
You certainly can make your garages pretty small and put your cars in very tightly. I think we also try to encourage people to have garages that are usable and allow for some storage. I'm just trying to strike a balance here. I guess I'm maybe not getting it. Go ahead, Councilor.
Just to follow up. So then, I reason why we're talking about the garage size is obviously that's the big ask here. That's the big addition. And, could you clarify also for me on the zoning memo, the maximum lot coverage that is listed is required 20%, existing is 18.9%, and then it says proposed 25.9%, and yet that's not one of the one of the requests. Is that in the zoning memo?
That
table.
Yeah, there's a provision in the zoning ordinance where houses built before 1922 that did not have a garage are allowed to build a garage, and that garage does not count against lot coverage.
I see. Okay.
So they're utilizing that provision. They're able to utilize that provision.
So I guess that's just...
still a relatively low lot coverage, though.
Right. So I guess even though they're not asking for the lease to do that, that gives us a sense of how much lot coverage we're actually expanding to with this size garage, which is larger than would normally be allowed if not for the age of the house. Okay. So that helps me a little bit on kind of standards.
Councilor Clausen?
So it's interesting that the site plan includes the house that fronts on Lake Avenue, which has a three-car garage and probably goes, I'm guessing, goes up to the maximum of 700 feet, which we allow, 700 square feet. But I think you can even notice on this tiny site plan, and I believe I read it on the drawings, you've got two 10-foot wide garage doors. Those are extremely large. When you... you've got it nicely set back from the house. You know, the renderings suggest, you know, it's not going to really present as a huge mass to the street, but it is taking up a lot of site area on a site that's substantially smaller than the neighboring sites with their bigger garages. So, I mean, proportionally, you're filling up a lot of space. It doesn't seem to me like it would be a hardship temper the size of the garage a bit. If you took 2 feet off the back, you'd also be lowering the ridge a little bit. And really, what harm can that do? It's 24 feet deep is quite deep for a garage, as 28 feet wide is quite wide for a garage. So, I mean, you could moderate the size and have it be more in proportion.
Any objection to doing that?
I already did it.
Pardon?
Done.
You haven't even
been here prepared like a defense attorney.
So I'm ready to go. I'll comment about
because I want Elizabeth and John are awesome. First thing I did when this property went under agreement was not ring on everybody's doorbell and say, listen, I want this to be a beautiful project. I want it to be fun. I want everybody's property value to go up. I want to enjoy it, and I want you to be happy to be a part of it. I'm not looking to make any enemies. Here's what I am looking to do. The current owner had no storage. I could tell she loved to garden, kayak, boat, and things like that. Zero off-street parking, zero storage. You need a space, and I'm sure everyone here would agree, for a lawnmower,
a snowblower, kids' bicycles, kayaks, canoes. So when I designed this garage, it was so that two or three cars could fit in comfortably, open up doors, take out the groceries, and put some storage above. Man, you were correct. You said when you shrink it down, it lowers the ridge line, which greatly reduces storage space above. But what I did, and I hope everyone will be happy, I have a plane here where I would lower it 1 foot from the top. I'm proposing to go 24 by 28, but lower it instead of close to 21 feet, lowering it to 20 feet. I was hoping for that. If that does not suffice, the smallest that I can go to get the two 10-foot doors in there, so it still has plenty of room where lawnmowers and bikes and things of that nature can fit, is 24 by 26 with a 20-foot height. And that would give ample storage above. That would take 2 feet off the, bring it in 2 feet. I felt this was very, very generous. But it's not up to me.
It's not, but we appreciate your generosity. How's that? Let me do this. I'm going to close the public hearing now, if we could. And then I think I'd like to entertain a motion on this as modified. My only question is, and I just put this to my colleagues, I don't want to delay this, but we're now getting a slightly modified plan. It has not been looked at by our planning department. If we were to approve this tonight, is there sufficient time between now and Monday for you to vet it and give us your thoughts on it?
I think we could agree to the size of the footprint, and we'll take a look at the elevations, and we could send...
If there's a problem, we can always bring it back to the committee and hold it, but you'll let me know by, say, Friday. Is that good for the committee? Does that work? Councillor Sangiovo.
Can I just ask a question? This is for planning. For a three-car garage, is the for by right, is it 700 square feet? Is that what you guys said?
700 square feet is the maximum size a garage can be by right, right regardless right. of the number of stalls in it.
Okay, that's all I wanted to ask.
Okay, all right. So, do I have a motion to close up, Councillor Harney?
I know Alderman Sangiovo's been doing yeoman's duty tonight, running back and forth, but just so she's aware of what has been proposed is a reduced size in the garage, a 24 by 26 foot garage, and the height has been reduced to 20 feet. I believe that's, if I'm stating
right. And an agreement to put screening along the side as well, which would be incorporated in any board order. Is that correct, sir?
That's correct, sir.
Go ahead.
So does that mean they have to go back to Auburndale Historic because this is in the historic district?
Not my bailiwick, but they're only reducing what they have. I can't imagine they have to go back to have less.
What they'll likely do is we'll run the elevations by the staff person, and chances are it would be an administrative approval because it's just getting smaller. If she had any concerns, it would get noticed and would get on a future agenda.
I would be surprised given that it's smaller than was already approved and they're putting in more screening, but I don't speak for the Historic Commission.
Concern that they would have is the pitch of the roof. If there was some requirement under the previous approval that the pitch of the previous garage roof matched the pitch of the house, you would have to work that out.
Okay.
But
I would hope you could work that out between now and Friday.
Yep.
Okay. Councilor Harney,
I'll move approval, but
we have to close the public hearing first.
I'm sorry, move to close the public hearing.
So all in favor of closing the public hearing? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 in favor, none opposed. Public hearing is closed. Go ahead.
I'll move approval with a possibility subject to second call.
I think that's fine. Is that okay with folks? All right. Second call means, sir, that we would take it. On first call, we just vote items up or down. They're typically approved. Second call means that the full city council would have some debate on the project, including the potential to send it back to committee if it has concerns. You do not get to present at the full council hearing. Okay?
Okay.
Okay. All right. So I have a motion to approve. Do I have a draft board order, Mr. Gleaver?
I do. And actually, I do have a paper copy of an extended one.
Great, thank you. I'll take care of it, yeah. When you're starting.
So we also have the conditions on the slide.
Thank you.
So your findings. Okay, so the findings are up on the screen. Do you want to read them or?
No. Why don't we just go through the first one, folks? Any questions on the first item? First one, I think that's fine. You're going to need to change the second one, obviously, because the square footage is going to change. So. And there's no ability to turn this or try to turn this into an accessory apartment in any later stage. Okay. Fine. Anything on number two? For number two, I wonder if we want to add something about the proposed screening, too. Is that appropriate there?
Sure.
Okay.
Definitely.
All right. Any other questions on two or three? Okay, you want to continue on, please, Mr. Cleaver?
Yeah. I'm sorry. For number two, can you just go back?
Sure.
Sorry, number three. Two. So obviously, if the dimensions are changed, it'll be a change in the 672 square foot number.
Mm-hmm.
You guys already talked about that.
Yep. Sure.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's go to four. I think that's fairly much of a repeat of two, but it's the neighborhood standard versus substantially more detrimental. Same with five. Questions on any of these findings? All right, seeing none, the findings are fine. Let's move to the conditions, please.
So, if you have some reasonable ones, plus a few additional ones, the petition will provide a final landscape plan for review and approval by the planning department.
Can I just stop you there? I think that should add that landscape plan shall include screening along the sides of these indicators will do it, so it's very clear what's in there. Okay. Go ahead, I'm sorry, Mr. Cleaver.
The tree preservation ordinance requirements, the requirements in operations and maintenance plans, the stormwater management, construction management plan, this is in the board order as well. Standard building permit conditions, defining inspection of standard building conditions, and the landscape maintenance conditions where the landscape needs to be maintained and replaced or used on an annual basis.
Questions on the conditions, folks? Seeing none, we have a motion by Councillor Harney. Do I have all in favor of approval? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 in favor, none opposed. This will be taken up Monday night. You're going to confer with Ms. Anant and Mr. Gruber from the planning department, work through those design changes. Yes, Councillor Crosby.
I just have a question on the compliance with the tree preservation ordinance. This is a private residence. I don't believe there's any compliance required, and we should take that out.
No, I think it's... Sorry.
Councillor Sangiolo?
Depends whether it's a developer development or not. So I think, from my understanding, I think all the trees are down already. I'm just
It's funny you mention that because I'm sending Mark Walton an email now to find out whether there was a tree permit or not.
We did discuss the trees, and there was one tree that was considered that Mark Welch went to see when you were out of the room. I think we were talking about this, and so it was taken down because he deemed it dangerous. And another tree is going to be. But isn't this an owner-occupied project?
I don't know. There's another house being built that will be coming before you because now their garage is over the by right limit. So I don't know whether this is owner going to fall within the owner-occupied or whether it's considered a development project.
I can answer both questions if you like.
Sure.
Tree removal was conducted during the ownership of the current owner. Will not apply to myself. Number two, here's my tree plot plan that was submitted to Mr. Welch, and here's his signed application. Approval
I think the question from Councilor Crosley is, do we move this condition at all? If this is that what you're saying?
Yes. Is the petitioner the homeowner? That was my understanding.
Petitioner a homeowner here, sir?
Are you the homeowner?
You're the petitioner.
Oh, I apologize. I misheard. I'm the petitioner. Here's the homeowner.
I'm living in the home. Are you occupying it?
No, sir.
That answers the question, I think.
Okay.
I think, why don't we include it in perhaps an abundance of caution?
Does that make sense?
Okay. Other questions from the committee? I see none. It's 9:19. We are adjourned. Thank you all very much. Thank you. Good luck.